Again, welcome to everybody online or present. Hallelujah. Good to see you all. It's the first Sunday of the month, so it's usually a family meeting. Amen. I can go in three different directions in the message, but I'm having a resistance, you know, to all the things that I thought I should go for. Hallelujah. But I know that God has something in mind for us, and we will be blessed. Can I have an amen? Church is not about religion, it's about God and following the direction of God for each service. He has a plan. There's a service plan. Pastor NY sent me a service plan, but God has the master plan. And we are happy to discard any plan at any point in time. Amen. I remember years ago we had a guest minister that was in Ibadan for the anniversary. And, you know, of course, when you go down, you know, there's praise and worship, you pray, praise and worship, blah, blah, blah. So right after the praise and worship, I just came up. And I just invited him, okay, so welcome him to preach. And the man was, well, he wasn't in shock, but he was like, he's delighted that he finds a church where they can throw away all the protocol all of a sudden, because there was a move in the spirit, and I just felt, you need to start speaking now, you know. And I just introduced him and said, sir, over to you, you know. And he was like, no, he hasn't seen that in quite a while, where they can disregard all the protocol and go for it. And I said, everything else will come after if we have time. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. But this morning, as we tend to do, we'll take testimonies. Can I see hands? But I also felt this morning that we'll take questions. So testimonies and questions. Amen. Testimonies and what? And questions. And ask questions about anything. You know, it can be about the messages you've heard. It can be about, you know, anything. And we'll trust God that He has something He's bringing out from all of them, and we know we will be blessed. Can I have an amen? So do I see any hands? You are belling the cat. Okay, Pastor Divine, please go.
Amen. Praise God. A few days ago, Wairi and Kewe, my twins, they clocked 15. And I just kept thinking about God's goodness and how He directed our path here. Before then, I've always had this fear of fatherhood, you know. I'm going to go, but now from the standpoint where I am, it's so promising, it's so beautiful. I can even see the end, even from my standpoint, because I'm so sure God is directing and leading me, and He has placed set examples, honorable fathers, even before me, whom I see, and I'm not scared, I'm not afraid, I've lost my fears. Hallelujah. So there's a whole lot tied to that, but I just want to do this song to testify, to thank God, because each time I think about it, We have a family WhatsApp group for myself and my siblings, my father's children. And it's not mere boasting. Where they stand, they are a light and a set example for others. And people are like, how? You know, I shared recently how we were scolding my dad's first son, because all of a sudden, he said he was inviting us for his mother-in-law's burial. And I said, okay, which of the mother-in-laws? The guy had like 5 wives already. Bros, you don't get money, now you get 5 wives. What kind of nonsense is this? You know, but you see, I'm thanking God because we have examples. We have some of us who are saying, no, we told this part. And I'm blessed and privileged to be standing there. And I'm saying this to say, thank you to Sethma, thank you to Pastor NY. But most importantly, thank God for directing my steps aright. For directing my steps rightly. Amen. Amen. The song says, I would like to talk about the love of Jesus. Just like we studied in John 15 this morning. His love is true. His love is real. And His love can redirect, even if you have missed it, it can redirect your steps. I would lie to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would like to tell how he changed my life completely. He's a thing that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. I was lost deep down in sin when Jesus found me. Then my life was filled with miseries and woes. But Jesus put his strong and lovely arms around me and directed my life the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cares for me. If you're here and you need a friend, Jesus can be that friend. If you're here, even if your family is not sweet, you can find family in the church. 15+ years ago, my wife and I literally walked this road from Ogudu to Ojota twice, 2 Sundays, looking for a place to worship. It's not like there are no churches, but it's about God's direction. I wonder how or what my life would have been today if I had not found the right place, following God, directing me and my wife to the right place. Glory be to God. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. And no one else could take my sins and darkness from me. Oh, I'm
any other hands?
Praise God. Praise God. Okay, so when we were asked to give a testimony, I was like, okay, what's extra?
Try the praise God again.
Praise God.
No, their response.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Whoever has the loudest hallelujah will get a prize.
Praise God! It's Mama. Hallelujah. So I sat down there and I was like, oh, do I have a testimony? Do I have a testimony? But God's goodness always is a testimony. And this testimony is about my mom. And about 2 years ago, thereabouts, she fell ill and at that point, we thought it was the end. As in, we thought we were going to say, bye-bye, mommy, and all that. But God had a different plan, and he had a different way to it. And we prayed and we committed her into God's hand. And today, she's doing so much better. She's living and she's enjoying the gift of life. Hallelujah. So, my dad also turned 87 a few days ago. And even with him, you know, there was a time we thought this was it. But God had a different plan. And he's still with us like almost 5 years after. And I just want to tell us this morning that when it seems final, it's not final for God. When it seems this is it, it is not it for God. God has a different plan always. This is probably for someone that you shouldn't give up. Hold on to God because he's a faithful God. Hallelujah. And I also have things and issues that I won't bore you with, but I've come to realize that just leaving it in the hand of God makes all the difference. I was thinking to myself a few days ago and I was like, Paula, you're not worrying. Is it that you're taking God for granted? Is it that you're taking things for granted? But that's just not it. It's just a new peace I have found that just trusting God is enough. Just saying, God, please just take control of this. Even when the thought wants to come and I'm like, God, you know, that peace comes again. And when they say that peace that surpasses human understanding, you know, that is the joy of having God in your life. And I just want to thank God for giving me that. I want to thank him for my family, my children, my husband. I want to thank him for where he has brought us to thus far. And I know he's still taking us to greater places. And I just want to give him all the praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Impossible is nothing with God. Amen. It's nothing with God. You know, as she spoke, I thought of John 11. And in John 11, they said, the man whom you love, they came to Jesus, sent a message to him and said, the man whom you love is sick. The Bible says then he stayed a few more days and then the guy died. And then when by the time he was showing up, they said, well, he's already dead. He's been dead for 4 days. You know, he's been dead for 4 days. And he says, well, even if he's dead, he can rise again. But again, if you look at Martha and Mary, their conclusion was, we know you can raise him, but I mean, they sent the message for help to Jesus. But now that he's dead, they felt that's final. So when you said final, so they just thought, okay, you know what? If you had come 4 days ago, that would have been okay. You know, we, no matter how sick he was, we believe that he would have raised him. But he's dead now, so case closed, you know. And Jesus said, no, I'm the resurrection and the life. You know, and of course, we know the end of that story is that Lazarus woke up again. So final is not final, except God said it's final. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, I don't see any more hands, do I? Okay, please go. Is your own hand also up? Okay, any more hands? Going. You are thinking? Eh? No. Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. Also, I was thinking, when she said she was thinking if she had any testimonies, I also just thought to come and share that I am grateful for all of the things that God has always done for me. And like their song said, when I think that he has done so much, he does even more and more. I thank God because just last week, I stepped out of my apartment only to realize that I think a neighbor that left since morning, I don't know how she did, maybe her cylinder is leaking, but there was, everywhere was smelling of gas, the whole house, like upstairs, downstairs, everywhere was smell, like I could, it was, the smell was so concentrated that It felt like if you just lit, even a cigarette would send that house in flames. And in fact, I didn't even know because I was inside. And then I think the person that just came back from work, someone else just came back from work and started smelling it. Right? She said initially when she was leaving the house, she smelled it briefly, but she thought the neighbor had just finished cooking. So she stepped out and went to work. But that when she's back and she's still smelling the gas, and now it's even more concentrated. So the shower were knocking on my door. Me, I was even thinking that it was not my apartment because we were trying to do call for help, but like everybody come out of the apartment. But me, I was inside, and then they called me saying, come out though, don't cook, don't do anything, that there is a gas, whatever. So it was like 8 p.m. that the person had to rush from work because the person stays on the and works on the island, that the person had to come. So I just want to thank God that there was no casualties. I mean, although when I went downstairs, some people were with their certificates, some people were with all of their important properties, and I thought to myself that waiting me, I won't carry. Where do I want to start from? And so, as much as it seems like a joke, I've had terrible situations happen, and I'm just thanking God that I am still alive today.
Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to ask yourself that. No, it's of God. You have to ask yourself that, should something happen and then you escape, you know, with your life, then you thank God. You know, I don't know if you know what I mean. So I went to Ibadan, I came back. No big deal. But maybe if an accident happened, then I still came out well, then I would say, God delivered me. But because he didn't allow any accident at all in the first place, then I didn't know he did anything. You understand what I mean? Okay, that's why I don't know. That's speaking in tongues.
Praise the Lord.
To the center.
Hey, you should praise the Lord for me, oh. You're not praising the Lord very well, like.
Tell them.
Praise the Lord. First, you thank God for my life that Tolu is standing here. That's number one. So praise the Lord again.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. Now, how to? I want to thank God for restoring my peace. Last month is a whole lot. And I thank God in the turbulence and all like that, God brought me back. God ordered my step again. I thank God for his faithfulness. I thank God that even when I was very stubborn, I now remembered when Seth was saying that, you know, love is very tough. Oh Lord. I was thinking about it. I was like, Daddy, you read a long song here. God, oh Lord. I don't know how to express myself. But then, thank you, Jesus. The way God flogged me, again, you know, give me mark, but I feel him. But then he taught me and he ordered my footstep back to the path where I derived from. But as I won't fall for branch, but he fixed me. So I give God all the glory for bringing me back, restoring my peace, because I don't know that I'll be. So, I want to sing this song. Eniyo iba ti gbe mi mi o bi ko se wo Olorun to lagbara aye iba ti gbe mi mi o bi ko se wo Oba to ja fun mi. Because in every struggle, you find it hard to forgive people. Like, it's so hard. Like, someone keeps hurting you, and the person feels good about it. And the person knows that what he or she is doing is so bad. But the person, it's just like that. You're hurting your fellow human being. Sometimes I don't wish I was God, because I thank God. Thank you, sir. Praise our Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are depths sometimes what people say that you may not know. You know, so when somebody says, God restored my peace, you don't know what, that the value of that. Like Psalm 23, where it says, He restores my soul. Hallelujah. You know, when was that? 2 years ago or so, I was ministering in Ibadan. And a young lady came out and said, you know, God healed her leg. So I looked at the leg. I said, what was wrong with your leg? She said, my leg. And she was crying. I said, my leg. So I said, Pastor, what was wrong with her leg? They said, her leg. You know, but there was nothing visibly wrong. But somehow she was extremely convinced something was wrong with that leg. Had gone for counseling, had gone for all kinds of things, but nothing visibly wrong. So he said, look, that thing she's telling you is very serious. I said, I can tell from the cry, but we couldn't see anything, you understand, ordinarily. So what God does is incredible. Only God can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Let's take a moment to talk about your joy. Let's take a moment to talk about your joy. So I get it now that's the direction God wants us to go. You know, as we sit and we're talking, some people find it difficult to laugh, to smile, and all of that. But once you can't do that, you are being robbed. You are being robbed. The devil is stealing from you. I remember the late Teresa Bell wrote a book. He titled it, If the Devil Can't Steal Your Joy, He Can't Steal Your Goods. Are you hearing me? Look at your neighbor, say, if he can't steal your joy, then he can't steal your goods. Proverbs 17. We're going to look at a few scriptures, you know, along that line. But what I want you to get is that God wants you happy. Are you hearing me? God wants you happy. He wants you to enjoy where you are on the way to where you are going. There are some people who are too busy being miserable. Why? Because they are always looking for something in the future that they don't have. Proverbs 15, I believe it is, or is it 13, 15, or 15, 13? But it talks about the fact that hope differs, makes the heart sick. So there are some people, they are always thinking about what is not working, what I don't have. This is what I've been believing God for, it has not happened. They are always so sad. And some people erroneously believe that it is spirituality for you to have a long face. You know, that means you are hearing from God, or God is dealing with you. You know, and then some will also call it and they say, well, I'm carrying my cross. Are you Jesus? There's only one cross we're meant to carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's only one cross to be carried, and Jesus carried that cross. Can I have an amen? You are not to carry any cross. You are supposed to rejoice always, like he said in Philippians 4:4. And he says, what? Again, I say to you, what? Rejoice. So he repeated it for emphasis. Rejoice always. Can I hear you say rejoice always? Now, rejoice always means that it is irrespective of the circumstances. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Rejoice always means that it doesn't matter what happens to you. Now, rejoice always is a command. I can be going through hell and I'm still laughing. You know, when in the Bible, there are three Hebrew children. The Bible says that they were thrown into the fiery furnace. So for those who don't have a long Bible background, God's children were in captivity, and there were these three Hebrew children. They said, you need to bow, you know, to a god that had been built, and they refused to bow. So they were reported to the king, and they said, these ones refused to bow to this false god. And the king said, well, the law has been made. If you don't bow, you burn. We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And they threw them in the fiery furnace, but guess what? The Bible says that they were dancing around in the fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the way I'm going. They were moving and dancing around in the fire, and the king was saying, hey, were there not three people we put in there? He said, now I can see four people in there, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Listen, God steps in the fire with you if you will rejoice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If you will rejoice in the fire, he comes in that fire alongside with you. what you are going through is not a license to be sorrowful. That's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Are you with me, anybody? What you are going through is not a license. In fact, biblically speaking, what you are going through is actually an instigation or a stimulation or a push for you to start rejoicing deliberately. Sometimes the fact that we are not rejoicing, the fact that we are not dancing, the fact that we are not singing, and you know, some people, you deliberately even hold it back. Have you heard people, hey, they want a song comes up, I say, why am I singing? Why should I even be singing? My life is not what I want it to be. This happened to me. That, no. Let that song come. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why he said Ephesians chapter 5. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, he said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. He said, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, singing to yourself with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What does that mean? It means that as I begin to sing to myself, I get filled with the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I get filled. So there's a feeling that occurs again and again and again by my rejoicing. As I begin to rejoice, they put in Acts chapter 16, they put the disciples in prison. And the Bible says when they were in prison at midnight. Symbolically, people say midnight is the darkest time. Symbolically, is when nothing is working. In fact, as a matter of fact, they were in prison because they were doing God's work. They were doing their best to serve God. And they were in prison. And the Bible says, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and did what? Sang praises. Can I hear you say sang praises? So they didn't just pray. They were singing. They were rejoicing. They were clapping. And everybody heard them. And what happened next? The chains fell. The doors of the prison flung open. So if you will rejoice in the prison, the doors of the prison will be thrown open. Are you hearing me? If you rejoice in the situation, then the chains will fly off. Go to James chapter 1. James, the first chapter. We have thrown away the power of joy. We have thrown away the power of rejoicing, the power of being happy in God. We have taught that everything, listen, there are many dimensions and many principles that you find in the Bible. It's not all just about praying. It's not just about fasting. It's not just all about studying God's word. Actually, if you study God's word, you find all of these things in there. You'll find that you should be praying. You'll find that you should be fasting. But you'll also find that you should be rejoicing. James chapter 1. Are you with me? Verse 2. He said, I'm not apologizing that this thing is not working today. I'm not apologizing. Actually, I thought it would work because the cable that is bad, they have it. At the back there, but whoever is supposed to fix it, they didn't fix it. So when I saw them and they said, oh, I said, it's not on. They said, no, that they didn't change the cable. I said, it's very good. Because today we will know the Bible students. Are you with me? All these ones there, James, why you look there? No. In fact, what we will do, what do they call that Bible club thing that I used to do? Draw your sword. We should do draw your sword. So this is the Bible I will give you. Not the electronic one. Oh yeah, James chapter 1. Who wants? We should have a few copies of the Bible, don't we? So that we'll ask them to see who is the first to open it. Then you hear James chapter 1, somebody is in Exodus. Are you with me? You know, interestingly, it's a little aside, but interestingly, I was in the Ibadan on Thursday, and the first place I went to was Scripture Union Bookshop. And I went to look for a Bible, a copy Bible. I went to buy a Bible. Unfortunately, the font size was too small. So when I got to the church office and I sat down, I opened the seal and all that. I asked them, I said, what's the font size? I didn't want something very big. I'm very mobile. So I wanted something that was small size. I have Bibles at home. I wanted something small size, but font's good enough. I can carry around with me. And I asked them, they said, oh, look at the back of it, the size they put it on, they wrote on there. I said, that's the size. I said, that's font size 12. I said, I can read 12. But I got to the office and I opened it, and it was probably font size 9 or so. So I looked at it. I said, I like, you know, I won't, I can't, I don't wear glasses to read. You know, I said, so I can't read this one. So I just gave it out right away. But I then was discussing with Pastor Peter afterwards, and we were talking about memory. And I said, you know, and we talked about reading, and reading, you know, the Bible, reading books. And I said, you know, one reason why I went to get it is because memory works better, you know, with books. Because we remember things by association. If you ask me, oh, when did this happen? When my mind can immediately associate it with something else, I will bring out the date for you. I'll bring out the time for you. Do you know what I mean? So if you ask, oh, when did he come to the house? I will say, ah, okay, I remember that they were showing something on TV, which was at 12. Then I use that to immediately tell you he came around 12:30. You get what I'm saying? So memory works that way. I say, so if you are reading the Bible and you are looking at it, very often things stick in your mind. And when you are trying to remember the verse you read, you can see the page. You can see which part of the page that verse was on. How many people know what I'm talking about? And it tends to bring it back to you. But I said, well, that's why. So if you don't know read, very good for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, congratulations. No projection. Amen. It looks like I'm talking to you. You are looking a bit sober. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, are you there? So look at verse 2. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's what I was going to speak about before. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, doing what? Lacking nothing. So why? It says rejoice when things come at you. I'll read you several translations. God's Word translation says, my brothers and sisters, be very happy. When you are tested in different ways, be very happy. You know, what do we say instead? Oku, ayemi paje. Why is all this happening to me? Huh? The Bible says, be very happy. So that's when you are supposed to go and cook your favorite meal. Abi? Maybe even invite a few friends. And they say, ah, what are you? Is it your bad day? It's not your bad day now. He said, no. Oh, this is wahala. Wahala is coming from front side. They say, wahala, you are doing party. He said, yes, the Bible says I should do party. Are you with me? NLT says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. When troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity. Let's always say an opportunity. It means if you were not rejoicing before, rejoice now when that trouble comes. Now, listen, before I read other translations, if you remember what we read up to verse 4, it says, why should we rejoice? So verse 2 says, rejoice. Count it all joy. One translation, because back in the days, why I went to Scripture Union is that back in the days, that's where we used to hunt. And we hunt for Bibles. We didn't have Bible translations electronically at our fingertips. So we had to buy every translation we read physically. So we bought all of them and we would go to Scripture Union because they will have all kinds of translations, strange ones. And you find them, you buy. The ones you couldn't find easily. And if you see, you've heard somebody quote from one and you find it there, you quickly buy it or you hide it and go and get money and come back. You know, and one of them said, you know, my brethren, throw a party when you fall into trouble. Throw a party. Are you with me? But why? The next verses tell us why. He said, because when those trials come, they produce patience. I don't hear you say patience. I'm going to be talking about patience. I mean, next time I'm preaching. That's what I actually thought I was going to preach. But I believe God switched that. And so I believe this is for somebody specifically this morning. Can I have an amen? I was going to talk about the force of patience. But he said it produces patience. That word patience means consistency. And he said if you will allow patience to have its place and to work in you completely, he said then you will not lack anything. So the reason why you should be rejoicing is because the end point of what is happening to you is that a testimony will come out of it. Did you get that? That's a shortcut, rough interpretation of everything. Is that when the troubles come, God has given you an opportunity. That's why he said, consider it an opportunity for joy. Why should I consider it an opportunity for joy? Because God is going to bring a testimony. Because patience is going to be developed in me. And when patience has its place in me, and I allow it to have its place in me, then I will not lack anything. Are you still there? So I tell people, whenever you are looking at a problem, look behind the problem. Look down the road. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look down the road and say to yourself, I know how this ends. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I don't give up, I know how this is going to end. I know where this is going. I know that this is going to turn for my joy. You remember what the Bible said about Jesus? He said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he was looking at what was behind the cross, that there was pain, there was suffering, there was all of those things on the way to where he was going, but he was looking at what will happen after. There's going to be an after. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's going to be an after. He said the expectation of the just man will not be cut off. There will be a hereafter. It doesn't end now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The things don't end here. You are going through something. Keep moving. And move with joy. Knowing that I am going through. I'm not supposed to stand there. I am going through it. Look at your neighbor. Say, I'm going through. And the end point is good because God is mindful of me. And he has great plans for my good. Psalm 37 verse 37 says, mark the blameless man. He said, the end of that man is peace. At the end, God has a great plan. He has already fixed everything for you. We always used to talk about how you don't watch a movie with somebody who has seen it. Yeah, because when you're watching the movie and they want to kill the guy, and you're always saying, hey, that person is sitting there and laughing. Why? Because he has seen the movie before. Are you hearing me? And he saw that at the end of the movie, that guy didn't die. There was one movie that, I think it was a series. And I just gave up. I just stopped watching. I said, this is ridiculous. So my wife said, why? I said, because everybody that died comes back. He just died, and then somewhere they will now bring him back, and then they will now tell us one backstory of how he did not die. I said, enough is enough. Nobody is dead in this world. Nobody. So when, as the story is going, the next episode they will bring him back again, and then show you that actually when they shot him, this happened. I said, it's enough. Are you with me? Listen, you know the end of this story. The end of this story is what? We win. Are you still with me? If we win, then why am I worried now? If we win, why should I be sad now? I can't tell you how many times I or people that I know have been through things, and those things turned around later, but they lost 1 year, they lost 1 month, they lost 2 years, they lost 5 years to being sorrowful. When they just should have enjoyed their lives. Are you with me? Listen, what I'm trying to say to you is this. If you knew that everything that is bothering you now will be turned around in however time it is, what will you be doing now? Eh? And so rejoice now. Abby? If you know it will be turned around, so why are you not happy now? Why are you waiting till then? And then now you are suffering. Now you are, they say, eat, you say, I'm going to eat. What? Are you still there? Let's read more translations. James chapter 1 and verse 2. ERV. Says, my brothers and sisters, you will have many kinds of troubles. How many people agree with that? You've had many kinds of troubles. Many kinds. He said, but this gives you a reason to be very happy. That's very strange. I mean, you have many kinds of troubles, but it gives you a reason to be very happy. My fellow brethren, TPT, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, he says, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. See it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. Are you still there? Consider it only joyful, the Amplified says, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in, or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into various temptations. Listen, I remember, you know, some of those years when we got married, we believed in God for a child. And, you know, many times, why is this happening, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I just act like I have no, you know, the way they said, to the room. You understand? So, it's like what? How do you call it? Thoughtless individual. Because the Bible says what? You should cast your cares upon him. Why? 1 Peter 5:7. He said, because he cares for you. He cares for you. One says, the Amplified says, he cares for you affectionately and he cares for you watchfully. Meaning, it's not just his affection towards you. He actually cares for you, and that makes him watch out for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He cares for you affectionately and he cares for you watchfully. So he wants you to be what? Careless. Have you? Somebody was talking. How he told a lady, there's a preacher. He said he saw this lady to her car, an elderly lady, and he said, take care. He said the woman opened the door and came out again. I said, no thanks. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in all things, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. No thanks. Look at your neighbor, say no thanks. You are not meant to be carrying cares. Are you with me? You are not meant to be thinking and worrying and thinking and worrying. And you know some people are world champion warriors. Eh? When they finish worrying their own, they worry your own. Have you ever met such people before? They worry for you, then they worry for that one, then they worry for that one, then they say, hey, that woman on the street, hey, I'm worried about her. Then they finish that one, they say, hey, I'm worried about him. Hey, I'm worried. Ah. Are you with me, anybody? Jesus said, what has worry done? What has it achieved? Matthew chapter 6. He said, if you worry from now to tomorrow, it will not make you taller or shorter. Are you still following what I'm saying? So you are not meant to worry. I've told you growing up, we used to watch, and I never forgot, because somehow it struck a chord in me. We used to watch Why Worry the Baba. And he had a patch over one eye. Then when they greet him, why worry? He say, why worry? Eh? If you worry, you go die. If you don't worry, you go die. So why worry? Bano. Look at your neighbor, say, why worry? Bano. So worry doesn't fix anything. Worry doesn't do anything other than weigh you down and ensure you don't enjoy your life. But joy, on the other hand, has very good goodies that it pulls along. Are you with me? Let's look at a few scriptures very quickly now, and then we can have the communion. Okay? Let's look at a few scriptures. Joy, cheerfulness, being rejoicing. It brings a lot of goodies with it. Go to Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs first. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Are you there? Proverbs 17, 22. He said, a merry heart does good like medicine. A merry heart is like vitamins, multivitamins. A merry heart is like Panadol. A merry heart is like what? Which one were you taking? Ampiclox? So it's like Ampiclox is like Amala. You know, when I asked them in the pharmacy, I say anti-malaria, they say Amala. I say that one day else. That one day else. You eat very good Amala. Truly, you will sweat. I mean, All the fever will come out if you eat very good one. Hallelujah. But he said, a merry heart does good. It's like medicine. But a broken spirit dries the bones. You know, every time when you read the Bible, you read from your experience, as it were. So there are certain things that when Sister Remy is reading, she sees it differently because they are using legal terms. Okay, so when he says that a sorrowful heart dries the bones, I say it differently. Because what he's telling me is that that one will eat deep into you. When you find somebody with a bone infection, for instance, we worry about it. Because he has an infection, we can give you many antibiotics, but if he has a bone infection, there are very few drugs that will penetrate into the bone. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what the Bible is saying is that when you are broken in your spirit, broken in your heart, sad, you see. He said that one is like infection in the bone. It will heat you up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So always fight it. The late Kennedy again said, when you start feeling miserable and sorry for yourself, he said, know that the devil is working on you. No matter what it is, when you start feeling miserable and sorry for yourself, the devil is on your case. You need to shrug it off very quickly. Can I have an amen? Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18. Verse 14. He said, the spirit of a man will sustain him even in sickness or in infirmity. He said, but who can bear a broken spirit? Nobody is finished. Nobody is destroyed except they are broken inside. That's when it's really over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not over till you say it's over. It's when you sit down and you say, my life is finished. And you sit down in one dark corner and you start thinking and confessing to yourself that you are finished. That's when you are really in trouble. Not when the trouble begins. The trouble doesn't mean anything. It can turn around in a moment. Can I have an amen? Now let me show you some of my favorites. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. But let me show you my favorite. Proverbs 15, verse 15. It says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So meaning what? If you're a sad person, sorrowful person, always complaining, always bitter, always down, he said, then what happens is that all kinds of ill, all kinds of things go wrong around you, go wrong with you. And then you say, hey, you see, I said it that my destiny is bad. I said it that my luck is bad. I said it that, no, it's you that is bad. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need a fix. He said, but the man who is of a merry heart has a continual feast, meaning that there will always be reasons for things to keep coming and working for that person. That person will always have a continual reason to rejoice and feast and be happy. Why? The miracle is actually in the person's heart. The miracle is not external, it's internal. Are you with me, anybody? Look at your neighbor, say, I'm ready to rejoice. Say it again, say, I'm ready to rejoice. Come what may, I'm ready to rejoice. Tell them, this is the last moment I'll be sad. Nothing is going to move me. Because he said he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Because he trusts in God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet this morning. How would you react if the thing you are most bothered about is resolved? How would you react? How would you sing? How would you dance? How would you look? How would you look? You love a smile. I mean, if your bank account was full, what would you look like? Look like that. Hallelujah. Can you imagine that you just opened the app of your account now and you saw zero, 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 you saw figure, whatever figure that is, one, and then 0 0 0 0 0 0 0. What would you do? What if you were healed already? What would you do? What if it was one with your family member that you're worried about? What would you do? What if you had a job you wanted? What will you do now? So do it now. And do it in advance. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because he who promises is faithful. He who promises is faithful. I got joy. Joy.
Joy, joy.
Concerns you. Why? Because God has already promised. He said if he gave you his only begotten son, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Meaning everything else is taken care of. That's what he said. He has done the biggest part, which is that Jesus died for you, Jesus died for me. There's nothing else about me that he won't take care of. Those ones are smaller things. I just want peace. I just want peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. He said, I'll give you peace. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but in me you'll have peace. Such that no man can understand the peace that passes all understanding. Passes all understanding. Included in that covenant is my peace. The Bible says the chastisement for our peace was upon him. That is the price necessary for me to have peace. And peace is not just a state of mind. It just means that for everything in my life to be peaceful and be the way I want it to be, the chastisement necessary for that to happen was upon him. Point. That's why Paul could write, he said, may the Lord give you peace always, by all means. Always, by all means. This month you will enjoy the greatest peace of your life. This month you will be joyful. This month the storms in your life will be calmed. In the name of Jesus. This month the things that seem insurmountable will crumble with ease. In the name of Jesus. this morning you will have the wisdom required to navigate the things you need to deal with in Jesus' name. This morning you'll find it the easiest things to solve problems. You will not be moved. But those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They will stand. They will stand. Nothing shall move them. Nothing shall move them. You will see the biggest troubles and you will laugh at them. Just like he said of the Lord in Psalm 2. He said he came against the Lord and his anointed. He said, but he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. You will look at issues, situations, and you will laugh. Why? Because God has already overcome. In the name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Just see the end of the issues and just thank him. Rather than take the communion and thank him. That God is committed to your welfare. God is committed to your progress. God is committed to your healing. It doesn't matter whether you can see how those things will turn around or not, but just know that he's committed. That's what the covenant means. He's committed. And thank him and rejoice that he's committed. Rather than take the communion. Don't know where, you don't know how, you don't know when, but you know he will do it. You know he has it handled. Just thank him.